See. Mr. Moderator, the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries is not the most glamorous of the committees, but it is very, very important. And this year, to my dismay, the Committee of Commissioners on the Review and Control of Presbyteries did not meet on the Saturday prior to this General Assembly. There was confusion about how quickly the work would be done, and we had to meet a lot during the business on the floor of General Assembly. Also, one of the rules for examining the minutes was not followed. It says that each set of Presbyterian minutes should be read by at least two members of the committee, and on almost all of these minutes, only one person examined them. And so I believe that this is necessary to promote the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in carefully watching over the purity and the peace of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would strongly urge this assembly to pass this motion so that the business can be carried on in an orderly manner next General Assembly.
Were you speaking to this motion, Ms. Evans? Motion as a whole. If this motion has come up, yes, for the whole. This motion has come up, and any other debate on this motion? Are you ready to vote on this motion? If not, shall we vote? Those in favor of the motion just presented, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. It is carried, and thank you very much. That opens the way, I believe, for consideration of the committee as a, of the report as a whole, number seven.
Frank Smith, Philadelphia Presbytery Teaching Elder. Mr. Moderator, you can rule me out of order if this isn't the proper motion. That the 1981 minutes of Western Carolina Presbytery be sent to the stated clerk of General Assembly for his review and evaluation, and any exceptions to be acted upon by Western Carolina before the 11th General Assembly.
I would think that that would be in order. Is there any question?
Mr. Moderator, I'm a member of Western Carolina's Presbytery, and I think it ought to go to someone else, Judicial Business Committee, perhaps.
That's losing a great opportunity.
I didn't know, I wasn't aware, and I'm perfectly willing to let it go to
the Judicial Business Committee. I think it would be a good one.
To the Judicial Business Committee?
Yes.
Do you accept that?
Yes, sir. Have
you heard that motion?
Can I speak to it?
Yes.
Just a minute.
You speak to it, and then we'll hear it again.
Why I have this here is the fact that all the other minutes have been with the notations of exceptions and will be before the 11th General Assembly. And there was no disposition made of what Western Carolina was going to do with the minutes that weren't sent in. And I thought this would be a proper thing to bring before the Assembly.
You've heard the motion? Discussion? Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. So ordered. Sir, I think I have perhaps misled the body. I believe that we did not do anything on these preliminary recommendations. A, B, and C, these minutes recommended for approval, we should accept those A, B, and C, should we not?
Yes, sir. Those are recommendations also.
Yes, but I would think before the report as a whole is committed, whether the preliminary recommendations should be approved, too.
I think it would be a good idea, yes.
We went right into the point B, to the other recommendations without doing the preliminary recommendations. Simple matter to do them, and so I would think that it would be a proper for you to move to the acceptance of A, B, C, and D.
Yes, sir. You want me to move item 3, recommendation concerning review of presbytery minutes, item A, B, C, D, and E. Of course, E is not really a recommendation, just a statement, but I would move you that those be adopted.
A, B, C, and D, I think you can say. Yeah. Very good. Is there a discussion or objection to that? Number 2, are you voting? Not speaking on that. Those in favor of this item, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. This is adopted. Thank you. Now we're ready to approve the report as a whole. Point number on mic number two.
Robert Miller, New River Presbytery, ruling elder. I move to reconsider recommendation number six, and if somebody would please second it, I'd like to speak to it.
You voted in favor, but you want to reconsider?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Somebody want to second that? It isn't seconded, and you move to reconsider recommendation four.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to reconsider this because I believe we have really made a mistake in the fact. The reason given for number six says that Mr. Johnson was found to have insufficient theological background for ordination and stated supply by implication of Book of Church Order 22.5 must be an ordained minister, and in 22.5 it specifically speaks of licentiate and ruling elders.
Mr. Moderator, it's probably the paragraph where one is refraining from changing from one denomination to another rather than that section which specifies the languages must have been taken in the seminary. It's my understanding he did not have.
Well, then it's a different section of the Book of Church Order, isn't it?
It's a different section of the Book of Church Order. It's 13.5. Educational requirements shall be equivalent to those required for ordination by PCA ministers. That's the last line of 13.5. And the citation probably is wrong. My understanding, that was the real difficulty. He did not have the languages. He did not intend to go back to school to get the languages, so they could not receive him from another denomination.
And then I would move to amend the motion to give the correct reference 13.5 instead of 22.5 in last line.
Could we not do that by common consent of a simple amount of yes? Okay. Mr. Number 8.
John Kramer, teaching on the Mid-Atlantic. I'm sorry, but the reference is correct, sir. 22.5 says you can't be a stated supply unless you're a minister. Then it goes on to say if you can't find a minister to be a pastor or stated supply, you get a licentiate to do something else, to be student supply, ruling elder supply. The problem in Tennessee Valley is this man is stated supply. So the reference is correct. Now, if he were called to be something else, then they wouldn't have the problem.
Mr. Moderator, I think that is probably true. The reason why they did not receive him was because of this other matter. But then they're appointing him as stated supply. You're correct that the 22.5 is the correct reference. But the lack of theological background, probably what we need to do is add an additional reference. Insufficient theological background and insert the 13.5 there would perhaps clarify the matter.
Would it be possible to put in both? Can that be done by common consent? Okay, by common consent. You tell us where to put them in, we'll put them in.
Theological background, parenthesis, right after theological background, 13-5.
Okay, 13-5 right after theological background. Very good. Then the reconsideration is not just take care of your matter. And we can go ahead then to the report as a whole. Those who favor approving the report as a whole, please raise your hand. Thank you. Yeah, contrary, same sign. It is so done. We're through with that. Thank you. That's review and control. Now, what do we do next?
Number three, microphone.
Could we take this number nine? Is that number nine? That number nine, excuse me a moment, that the Committee of Admissions on Administration.
Mr. Moderator, I believe the matter left over on administration had to do with receiving this. We had to wait until we received this report. So administration now. Yes.
There was some call for the microphone, number three.
Mr. Moderator, just a point of personal privilege, if I may.
Yes.
The young man who took the place of the chairman for that committee begged for our indulgence. He has not required nearly so much of our indulgence as some others have, and I think you should be commended.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, I have a motion to make before you finally approve the Committee on Administration.
Okay, we go to the Committee on Administration, and we understand, and see, that's page 171 and following. And it is my understanding that 171 and following has all been taken care of now since we have done number 9.
Right.
And we are prepared to move to accept the report as a whole, but you have an item to bring up.
Yes, yes. I'm Pastor Bill Rose of the Warrior Presbytery, and I make a motion, and if I get a second, I would speak for it, that the expenses of pages at this General Assembly for food and lodging be paid by the Committee of Administration for those who are unable to pay their own way.
This has been moved. Was it seconded? Moved and seconded. In discussion?
Here's where the problem came in. Mr. Smith sent a letter to some of the presbyteries saying that if the presbyteries would pay their transportation, that the assembly would pay their lodging. And he sent another letter. He misunderstood what was there, and he sent another letter, but some of these folks didn't get that understanding, and we have 4 men who could not have come to the assembly as pages if they came on the basis that the assembly was going to take care of their of their expenses at this place. Now, my predecessor gave me $100. I couldn't understand why. Now I do. But there are 4 men that need assistance, and that amounts to $163 each, or in the neighborhood of $650.
Well,
they could not have come to this assembly without that assistance.
Why don't we just let Morton pay it?
You've done Morton. Quit preaching and gone to meddling.
My apologies. The motion is before us, and it was seconded, I believe. Was it seconded? Seconded. Discussion? Great. You have already spoken for it. Those ready to vote? Those number... Oh, number 10?
Dan Morris, ruling elder, Central Georgia Presbytery. Just an editorial correction to be sure we're on the same wavelength here. I believe rather than the Committee on Administration pay it, I think what is meant is the fund that is shared by all the committees of the Assembly.
Okay,
Assembly pay it. So you accept that?
Yes, very good. Okay.
So,
I'm ready to vote. Those in favor, please say, raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, left and right hand, it is carried. And now we should be ready for the report as a whole. Do you have an item on this? Number 5.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, Charles Dunner here, North Georgia Presbytery. I would like to move an amendment to the report as a whole that the Assembly Arrangements Committee, particularly those who share the responsibility of preparing the Assembly's docket, be instructed to give special attention to the rearrangement of the 1983 docket in order to allow doctrine, policy, and judicial matters, as well as budget, to be handled earlier on in the docket. If I can get a second, I'll speak to it.
Who's in second?
Mr. Moderator, I know from talking with a gentleman the other day about a problem he had with his wife, who liked to talk things over and over and over. And I also know that someone said the other day, all's been said, but not everyone has said it. So when Mr. Baird made his speech before lunch today, I emotionally in my heart applauded. But on the way to lunch, I kind of repented. And reflecting on Acts 15 as to what biblically the assembly is all about. And here we've been dwindling down today to deal with matters which only the General Assembly can. Much of our time has been given to the exciting programs that God is doing in the church, and I'm very much a part of that, but we can do that during the year even. We can hear good preaching during the year, but we can't deal with some of these matters except at the General Assembly. And I believe some things can be done in order to deal with these basic issues that must come before the Assembly at a more reasonable time.
Motion been made and seconded.
Mr. Moderator, I would be the primary person responsible. And I think that with regard to judicial business, we would almost have to bring that committee of commissioners in a whole day earlier. They have the heaviest load of work, And we didn't get the papers from that committee until, I guess, Wednesday afternoon, which is a reasonable time for them, and yet it couldn't be on the floor, you see, really, before yesterday. So I think if this is mandated by the Assembly, I think that's about the only way we could do it, is to go ahead and push that kind of committee on up a whole half day more earlier, perhaps.
Mr. Moderator, I would be willing to add that to my amendment. They come a day early, like the other committee of commissioners, to do their work. This is too important for us to take so lightly and so haphazardly.
And Mr. Moderator, they already do come one day earlier. They are here on Saturday. What would be mandated would have to, they would have to come on Friday.
You have heard the motion, and whether that amendment was added to it or not. This is a motion, of course, of advice, and the committee has to do the best it can, but this gives set principle. So, is there further debate? Can we proceed to vote on this? You second the motion. He didn't make a motion.
I didn't make it. He made it.
He made it. Not really.
Mr. Moderator, the intention of my responding to Dr. Smith, he is basically the one responsible. Yes. I'm asking that we delegate him as part of the Assembly Arrangement Committee to do whatever needs to be done to get this matter dealt with more properly.
Yes. It would be possible for you to get them to come. You don't need an enabling motion.
I have to really set the rules, but I think that would be all right.
Yes. It'll be all right. Okay. Now, the different ones have been asking for the mic, number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Joe Easterling of Central Florida. If this is addressed to the Judicial Commission particularly, I'm not sure the practicality of that. It's great that you could bring in the commissioners, but in being involved in a Judicial Commission this time myself, you're going to have to bring in not only them, but you'd have to bring in perhaps witnesses or whatever. And I'm not sure if that's possible.
Mr. Moderator, I believe the commission is not understanding. When I said judicial, I may have said commission, but it's the committee of commissioners on judicial business.
Yes. I believe number 6 asked for the
Lamar McKee from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. Maybe we should take into consideration, instead of trying to set up all the important business to come early in the week, so whereby it should leave early, that we take into consideration that we put some of the more important committee work, come before the General Assembly, but last, and the people who want to get it done to go home would have to stay if they want to take a part in it.
Number 4, I take this as an argument against the motion.
Yes. Mr. Moderator, Walter Lastovich of Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, I respectfully call for the question.
Shall the question now be put? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Right hand. Opposed? Same sign. The question is called for? Yes, it would be well. I guess you don't get the last word on this one.
That the Assembly Arrangements Committee, and particularly those who share the responsibility of preparing the Assembly docket, be instructed to give special attention to a rearrangement of the 1983 docket, in order to allow doctrine, polity, and judicial matters, as well as the budget, to be handled earlier on the docket, and that the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business meet an extra day early if necessary.
Ready to vote? I have to vote. For those in favor, please raise your question of Dr. King, number 8. What is your point?
Is debate closed?
Yes, debate is closed. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. It passes by 2/3 majority. We proceed now to vote. And those in favor of this motion, as just read, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. It passes. The first was a vote to... The first was a vote of cloture. The second was a vote of...
Moderator.
Yes.
I move... that the Committee of Commissioners on Administration report be closed as a whole.
That is the motion.
Accepted.
We accept it as a whole. No question. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. It is done with thanks. Next.
Items of judicial business.
Items of judicial business.
In North America, it has been completed, has it not? Judicial business.
Where's the page on judicial business?
What page is judicial business?
600. Turn to the 600, please.
Moderator, before we begin, I would once again ask that we would look to the Lord in prayer, asking for His blessing upon us. Father, as we once again resume consideration of this report, Father, we once again ask that Thou wouldst refresh us, that we indeed are weary, but Thou dost give strength, Thou dost bless. This is the business of the church, O Lord, and we know that as the King of the church, Thou wilt be with us. We pray, O Lord, that we be with us by Thy Spirit in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Moderator, at the time when this report was suspended, we were on question 19, and a minority report had been moved. And I would like to ask you, where do I start? Do I start there, or am I free to start elsewhere?
Minority report on number 19, page 677, 678. The minority report had been moved and not passed. It was in motion, I believe.
As I recall, it was being debated. The minority report was being debated.
Number 10.
Ms. Moderator, Vaughn Hathaway, Great Presbytery. I'd like to call, in speaking against the minority report, I'd like to call the Assembly's attention to the attempted parallel at the end of the minority report regarding where it quoted, "Ordinarily the minister must not physically leave the field until the presbytery has resolved his pastoral relations." The language suggested in this recommendation is parallel to that allowing the person to move on to the field. Mr. Moderator, I would speak against this because it is my opinion that this is not a parallel. Because when a presbytery permits someone to move to the field before his ordination, they are taking action. However, the proposed language of the minority report indicates that presbytery will have no action in a person moving away. Under the exception provided by the word ordinarily.
We're speaking against the minority report. The minority report is before you. Is anyone speaking in its favor? Number 8, are you speaking in its favor?
I have a question for information's sake, Mr. Moderator.
Perhaps we can answer. Speak.
Steve Christian, Central Florida Presbytery. I didn't understand the issue before we left it, and the intervening time has not helped me any to understand it more. I was wondering if one of the principals could give us a brief statement about the substance of the issue here between the permanent committee, the committee of commissioners, and the minority report.
Can you do that, Mr. Johnson?
Well, I think that the problem we're addressing is agreed upon. I think that is easy to understand. That is, ministers oftentimes will leave one charge, one church, leave the field and be going to another field without ever having been dismissed from their first connection. And in addition, they'll fully participate in the business at this new connection, and in essence, never have been dismissed at all from the prior connection. And the overture sought to make the requirement that the person who wishes so to move cannot even leave geographically his field under any circumstances until dismissed from his place of origin. The solution that the Committee of Commissioners is recommending is that the presbytery itself or a duly constituted commission appointed for this purpose, and it's understood that it could be have standing authority, could so act. The commission, however, could only do this in uncontested cases where there's no problem, where the church already concurred with the decision for terminating the pastor relationship. The minority report, I think, will be best spoken to by the proposer. I do not propose to speak for him, and I would yield the floor to Dick Fraser, who was one of the signers of the minority report.
And Mr. Fraser, can you help us with this? Number 11, mic number 11, at least to give us the nub of the issue between these two.
Yes, sir. Again, the issue is stated in the minority report, the point of difference. There is a desire to provide some flexibility. The overture says, in any event, very exclusive and very limiting. And in order to get around that, the Committee of Commissioners wanted to grant some flexibility and yet emphasize that the presbytery should be in charge and in control and observant and so forth. And so the idea was, well, we'll let them have commission activities to deal with that. And the minority objects to that structure because it encourages presbyteries to give to a committee, the Committee on the Minister's Work or Credentials, whatever committee of the presbytery normally would handle this, blanket commission powers. And it is that which the Sixth General Assembly objects, saying it is constitutional, or, according to our Book of Church Orders, but it is not wise. And the minority contends that it is not wise for this assembly now to incorporate into the Book of Church Order language that would encourage a presbytery to establish or to give a committee blanket commission powers, blanket in the sense of no terminus ad quo.
Now, you've heard these matters discussed. We are voting on the minority report, and we've heard speakers for and against, I believe, against and for, I guess I would say. Which is yours, number 8?
Against.
I guess that's the one to be at next, yes.
Don Clemens speaking on the Mid-Atlantic. I am greatly in sympathy with the minority report's desire to not give blanket powers to commissions. However, the Committee of Commissioners report does say this is only in uncontested cases where a man has a call to another work and or whatever, and the church and the man are in agreement. They'll have that power to move along between presbytery meetings. But what the minority report fails to cover is the case of a contested case where, for instance, a church seeks to relieve itself of a pastor, has a congregational meeting, votes to move him out, no money provided, out of the manse quickly, and the presbytery won't meet for some time. If we adopt the minority report, that can happen. So I'm opposed to the minority report. I want the Committee Commissioners report that would not allow a church to do that, that it would require the presbytery, and not a commission, but the presbytery to meet, to come in and deal with that situation. I'm concerned that our presbyteries do get involved with pastoral problems and situations, and maybe some of the things that happened in the past could be cared for by greater pastoral concern of the presbyteries for their members, the ministers.
Shall we proceed to vote? Is there any further discussion necessary? Mr. Fraser?
As maker of the minority report or author of it, may I have the last word?
Not by any rule.
We can interpret your previous statement as answering a question, and therefore you may now speak.
Thank you. May I speak?
As briefly as possible, sir.
Okay. Two things. The contention just offered that this would not involve presbytery, that it would allow presbytery to escape its responsibility, it would allow the church to close a man out, put him off the field, is not true. It forces the presbytery to be involved. It forces the presbytery to have oversight, either directly or in whatever way it wants to. The other contention was made that there is not a parallel in the sense that 21.1 requires action of the presbytery where this doesn't. That is not true. If you look at the language of the recommended change, it says that the man may not move the field until his relationship is dissolved. And only presbytery can do that by a formal action. So in each case, there is action required by presbytery.
We've had two speakers on each side. It's possible for us to come to a vote. Those in favor of the minority report, please raise your right hand. Those opposed to the minority report, please raise your right hands. The minority report fails. Shall we turn to the majority report? The overture page, number 19 is moved. Those in favor of number 19, please raise your right hand. Yes, number 4,
information. Stanwood Dean, teaching elder, Western Carolina Presbytery. I would like to address to you, to the city clerk or the parliamentarian, the intent of meeting of the phrase found in this majority report, if the church fails to appear. Is that an appearance of a commissioner from that church, or would that conclude correspondence with the absence of the commissioner?
Now, Mr. Moderator, that language is already in the Book of Church Order, and I think a great many presbyteries receive communications from the church say that they've held the congregational meeting. I think that would be acceptable appearance, that they have communicated with the presbytery regarding that.
Thank you. Shall we proceed with the vote? We began to take the vote and were interrupted. Those in favor of the majority report, number 19, please raise your hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign, so ordered. Number 19 is completed. Is there anything else on this report now? That finish this report?
Moderator, number 20 had previously been enacted and adopted by the Assembly. And I have a procedural motion, not as the chairman, but as a member of this body, regarding the handling of 7 recommendations. If I may move this, I don't know if it's procedural or how you label the motion, but it's the following. I move that recommendations, now these refer to pages 679 and following, that recommendations 21, 29, 33, 34, 36, 37, and 38. I need to read those here. Excuse me. These refer to pages 679 through about 683. But anyway, recommendations 21, 29, 33, 34, 36, 37, and 38 be referred to the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business to study and to report to the 11th General Assembly, including also the following. And notice here, 1, procedures for handling appeals and complaints to the General Assembly, 2, guidelines for judicial commissions, 3, what matters may be debated by the General Assembly under Book of Church Order 15-3 and acting on the report of judicial commission. 4, that the weight which should be given or to render judgment to other similar cases. And 5, to suggest any changes in the Book of Church Order for clarification or implementation of the recommendations of the judicial commission. And 6, the sections of the Subcommittee on Judicial Business manual regarding interim advice. This refers to sections 5 and 5-2 of their manual. And if I get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
Isn't that you're going to speak?
First of all, the recommendations 21 through 38 that I mentioned, all are recommending reference that they be referred to the permanent committee, subcommittee, group of business for study and report. So instead of dealing them one at a time, I'm just recommending that we deal with them all at once and as a package. They're all for study. There's nothing controversial in the referring it. The second part is really a housekeeping matter. That of trying to get the committee, the permanent committee, to study the whole matter of judicial commissions, how they do their work, how they report, how it's dealt on the floor, and to see what suggested book of judicial order amendments might be needed. It could be that none are needed, or what additional help the General Assembly could use by way of perhaps improved format or form or guidelines provided the commission. And therefore also that appropriate sections of the manual of operations for the subcommittee be amended as needed as regards interim advice, which we seem to have had to wrestle with at this time.
You heard the motion? Any question or discussion? Ready to vote? Those in favor of the motion as read? Thank you. Please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary? So ordered? It is done. Then are we ready to adjourn?
Yes, no, we've still got more to do. I feel content here. I've been trying to get about three or four more recommendations passed every time I come up to the podium. I got seven done all at one time. I'm getting to feel good now. I will call your attention now to recommendation 22. If you would put one finger there and also another finger in page 627, this recommendation has to do with overture 11. And I will beg your indulgence. I'll go ahead and quickly read this. Well, what I'll do is explain it. It's printed in the handbook. All the committee did is that it added a small amendment, just an editorial change, to the overture. The overture has been printed on page 627. And we're saying, and that the chapter be numbered accordingly. That is, if the assembly adopts this overture, which involves in a request for amendment to the Book of Church Order, it would also provide that the rest of the chapter be numbered accordingly. And so we move adoption of Recommendation 22.
Then moved. Number 22, number 8. Mike 8.
Mr. Moderator, Gary Aitken, Teaching Elder, Calvary. I'd like to speak against the recommendation because it overlooks a very significant kind of situation. And I'd like to point out that the wording is to this effect. It points three kinds of people undergoing three kinds of spiritual distress who would stay away from the Lord's table. One facing judicial charges, or one who is presently under judicial censure, or three, one who struggles personally with moral conviction of unrepented sin. Let me draw a picture of the problem that this change in our Book of Church Order does not take into account. Somebody is baptized in a liberal church or some other denomination. In his early years, perhaps when he's 11 or 12 years old, he's routinely taken into the communion membership of that church. A few years later, he comes, in the circumstance of his life, to a church, say a PCA church, and comes under the sound, searching proclamation of God's Word. And he comes to the conclusion that his position as a communion member is not one that is the result of God having done a work of regenerating grace in his life. He is not a rebel. He is in church every week. He is living a moral life. And he's in a situation now where he comes to the pastor and then through the pastor to the session. And he says, the more I hear the word of God in this church, the more I realize that the intellectual choice I made when I was a child and became a communion member is one that was not based on the evident work of God's Holy Spirit in my life. And therefore, I would humbly like to ask to be put on the role of non-communion member. This is an unusual situation, but I ran into it a few years ago with a grown man. And at that time, I began to deal with him according to the guidance that is given in chapter 28, discipline of non-communion members, and especially paragraph 4, adult non-communion members who receive with meekness and appreciation the oversight and instruction of the church are entitled to special attention. Their rights and privileges under the covenant should be frequently and fully explained. And they should be warned of the sin and danger of neglecting their covenant obligations. Mr. Moderator, I think that the sincerity of the presbytery which offered the overture is not being called in question. I would not want to call it in question. But I am painfully aware as a shepherd of souls that we would close the door to an individual who comes to a settled conviction under the preaching of God's word that he has not been born again. And he, because as far as he can experience in his life, the Holy Spirit has not given him the ability to believe. He is to therefore continue under the care of the church and to attend diligently to all the means of grace. But we would not want to close the door on him so that he would have to be dealt with in terms of chapter 27, simply disciplined, because he could not in conscience come to the Lord's table. I speak against the recommendation of the committee.
You heard the argument against? Number 10, are you speaking in favor?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Meek, teaching elder, Louisiana Presbytery. I'm unclear from the way the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners has presented this. It appears he's asking us to, it appears that he said the Committee on Commissioners perfected the language of this overture. We're not voting on on all the whereases. All we're voting to do is amend the Book of Church Order by deleting this paragraph. All these whereases are not to the point.
Right. I was simply calling attention that we recommended that overture 11 be adopted. But in order to for overture 11 to do that which it intends to do, we thought it would be appropriate that the rest of the chapters such as be renumbered. It's simply an editorial change. Okay. If the overture is indeed answered in affirmative, we that was my only intention. I didn't mean to say that we had perfected the wording.
My question is then, are we voting just on the we therefore overture the 10th General Assembly, the last part, and not adopting the whereases? Is that true? Or?
Yeah, yes, sir. The whereases are not part.
Answer in affirmative. The answer in affirmative is amended. Those in favor of answering this overture in the affirmative as amended, and that involves adopting the therefore, and this would involve also the procedure for going down to the presbytery.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. That's involved. Okay. Yes, you may.
I'd like to speak one final word as the chairman. This was wrestled with in the committee. There was a divided vote, as you can see. But the very large majority of the committee was of the opinion that we were tending to open the door to what would be a halfway covenant. It was even suggested, for example, in the discussion, and I'm not sure how serious it would be taken, but that you could receive a previously baptized person who did not regard himself as a Christian, but yet he wanted to be under the umbrella of the church. You could receive him as an adult into the non-communion roles of the church. And which is clearly in a halfway covenant type concept. So what we would like to do is to soften up the provisions of Book Church Order so that the choice could be clearly made by the assembly on as to whether or not that provision would be made or whether it would be excluded.
Well, that's I believe that was the last word. I don't know that the floor is open for further discussion. Yes.
A clarification as to whether in the judgment of the moderator we are in fact talking here about a provision in the Book of Church Order which is presently in the Book of Church Order which has anything at all to do with the halfway covenant.
I would not want to answer that. Well, all I can say is that the, as I interpret it here, we're not binding ourselves by the whereas as if this is adopted, but that we are binding ourselves to strike out this section from the BCO, and that that will go through channels.
It might be helpful if we had 38-2 read before we vote.
Yes, you read.
Book of Church Order 38-2. If a communing member of the church against whom no charges are pending to request the session to transfer his name to the roll of non-communing members, it shall be in the power of the session to grant the request, and this action may be announced to the congregation should this seem wise and proper. This transfer, however, should not be made until the session, after inquiry and due delay, is of the judgment that the request does not spring from temporary doubt or special temptation.
You've heard the statement. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor of adopting number 22, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those against, please raise your right hand. I believe it is against. And so nothing is done on that, right? Okay, the BCO still stands, and so on. The next one is
23. We move the adoption, which is simply that over to 12 is answered by reference to what we have just done to 22.
Is there any objection to that, or on that number 5, on that item? No. Mike 5.
Bailey Tavern, Ascension Presbytery. Sir, if I might, I'd like to make a substitution amendment. I move that recommendation number 23 of the judicial business report be substituted with that over to 12 be answered in the affirmative. Over to 12 is found on page 627. Might I address that?
Is it seconded? It is seconded. You may speak.
Now, since this was answered with reference to recommendation 22, we've got a little bit of a difficulty here, but it, in my view, the reference of over to 12 to recommendation 22 above is appropriate, but does not go far enough, the reasons being the following. In the Book of Church Order 6.3 and also 27.2, I'm having trouble reading my writing here, it may be 22.2, there is a reference made to the possibility of baptized persons as lifetime members even though they are habitual covenant breakers. That is, that the possibility of people in our churches who've been baptized duly in the visible church but have never professed faith and yet remaining as lifetime members of the church. Also, chapter 28:4 makes reference to adult non-communing members. That, I would suggest, is a contradiction in terms. Non-communing members of the church as adults are in rebellion against the covenant expressed in their baptism. And so, over to 12 on page 627 from the Presbytery of the Ascension suggests not only deleting from the Book of Order 38.2, but also 6.3, 27.2, and 28.4.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to call the attention of the Assembly to the fact that the previous action denied, therefore, number 5 and number 12. It's the same substance. So to vote, if you vote in the affirmative on this motion, you would be voting only on items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I would rule consideration of number 5 out of order because it's already been decided. Okay. I would, however, rule that numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 can be considered. Is that correct? Omitting number 5 then, so it's to debate number 8.
Gary Aitken, teaching elder, Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, the issue is the same as we were talking about before, and I believe, sir, you are talking about the very central, one of the very central cardinal beliefs of our faith. It has to do with the Ordo Salutis. We all believe that until a man is regenerated by the sovereign work of God's Holy Spirit, that individual cannot come to faith. Jesus said to a grown man, Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going." So is everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. The timing of regeneration is totally up to God the Holy Spirit. If a man lives to be 60 years old as a baptized member of a PCA church, and the Holy Spirit has not been pleased yet to regenerate him, he is to be treated under the guidance of 28-4. Let me just quote from the words of Jonathan Edwards in this regard. "There are certain things that a man simply cannot do. First, men cannot make satisfaction for sins. Only God can do that. Second, men cannot earn righteousness. That makes them acceptable before God. Only he can do that. Third, men cannot change their hearts, yet which must be changed by God. Yet there are many things the sinner can do without new faculties or principles. If Edwards lists 3 things that he cannot do, we find no less than 10 things that he can do. And they are, simply to read them very quickly: a man can abstain from the outward gratifications of his lust. A man can, in many respects, keep out of the way of temptation. Persons can perform outward duties of morality toward their neighbors. Persons can search Scripture. Persons can attend all ordinances. Persons can use their tongues for the purpose of religion. Persons have, in great measure, the command of their thoughts. Persons can set apart a suitable proportion of their time for these things. Persons can improve divine assistance when it is given. They can lay them. They can lay out their strength in these things as well as in others. And last of all, Mr. Moderator, I draw particular attention to the language that is used in number 22, the wording of which we are referred to in recommendation 23. "Whereas a person who abstains from communion, if he be truly a Christian, cannot be content to remain indefinitely in abstention." And what we have in view here is an individual who is truly not a Christian, but who is faithful in his attendance upon a PCA church as a baptized member. Thank you, sir.
You're speaking in favor of number 12. I don't know enough about this to say. I'm asking for just
no,
for the record.
No, I am speaking against recommendation 23. I would also add the words in the Presbytery of the Ascension material under therefore number 3, that the following be substitute for BCO 28-4. "When those who have been baptized in infancy arrive at the years of discretion, they are bound to discharge all the obligations of church members. But that, sir, flies in the face of John 3:8 and is contrary to our understanding of the Ordo Salutis."
You speak in favor of the adoption, sir? Number 5.
Bailey Tasman, Ascension Presbytery. Yes, I do, sir. I agree that this goes to the very heart of the faith. We do indeed recognize that a man of himself is not able to come to God, but as Edwards so well put it, the reason that he can't is because he won't. It is the rebellion in his heart that keeps him. Edwards would say that he has the natural ability, and I along with him, the man has the natural ability, but he does not have the moral ability. He does not have it in his heart to come to God. So the question remains that you have a person who was born into the covenant community, has received the sign of that community, has sat under the preaching of the gospel, a very beautiful thing,
and yet in the depravity of his heart has refused that gospel, has refused the Messiah, will not come to him in faith. And we cannot say surely that the man in that acts faithfully in any way. He does nothing except stand in rebellion against God. Of course, Edwards, along with all of us, I believe, would counsel such a person to attend upon the preaching of the word, for example, but it's not because there is merit in it for him. There is no merit, but rather because he sins less grievously against God by attending upon the worship of God than if he were not to attend the worship of God, in which case he would be multiplying sin upon sin. But nonetheless, the person is in outright rebellion against the God who has graciously given him the benefits of the covenant family.
I think our time must be about up. Number nine? It is up. It is up. Will the assembly extend the debate 5 more minutes? Those in favor, raise your hand. It will not. We proceed to the decision, and the debate is on number 23, and the proposal is that number 23. The answer, overture 12 substitute is to answer overture 12 by turning to page 627 in the affirmative and answering 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the affirmative, but not 5. Those in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. Those opposed to that motion, raise your hand. The motion loses. So we turn then to 24, is that right?
No, we don't have the document.
That was the substitute. So now we go back to the main motion, which is that overture 12 be answered by reference to recommendation 22. This is moved. Ready to vote.
Mr. Moderator, we really ought to move. I move that we answer recommendation 22 in the negative. Mr. Moderator, we have left answer 22 unanswered, and if we refer 12, the next one, to 22, we've done nothing with it. The motion, therefore, ought to be to answer number 22 in the negative.
Number
Moderator,
20.
What we've done, we've turned down answering it in the affirmative. That does not mean the Assembly's answered it in the negative. We do need that motion in the record. Otherwise, it's unanswered.
So the motion we wish is that overture 12, that overture 11 be answered in the negative. We're going back to overture 11. I'm told that we must go back to overture 11 and vote it down, vote it in the negative.
Mr. Moderator, would it not be simpler that by common consent we could simply change the recommendation 23? Simply that be answered in the negative. That would accomplish the committee's intent, and it would get on with the business by common consent.
That's all right.
The parliamentarian tells me that overture 11 ought to be answered, and that we have refused to affirm it, but it ought to be answered in the negative to clear the book. Is that right? Those number 6, receiving on.
Mr. Moderator, I move that we answer overture 11 and overture 12 in the negative.
It is moved that we answer. That we answer overture 11 and overture 12 in the negative. You ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your right hand. It is carried. Thank you. Those in against, same sign. It is carried. Overture 11 and overture 12 answered in the negative. This does not touch number 5, point 5. We handled that already. So we go on.
Okay. Moderator, if you, we're now in question, recommendation 26.
26. The other four, two were taken care of.
Again, if you will refer to page 617. Recommendation 15 of the permit committee is before you. That is on page 617. Item 15, which deals with their committee. Recommendation 15. And the committee of commissioners' answer, our recommendation is that Book Search Order 8-4 be amended by the addition of the following after the word teaching elders. And I will not read that, but then the amended passages appear below with one editorial change. Halfway down, we indicate what the changes are. Halfway down that paragraph, we indicate Book of Church Order, but it don't give a paragraph number. That should be 8-4. Book of Church Order 8-4 will then read, and there is the way it would read with amendments incorporated. And then Book of Church Order 13-2 would read, and the new reading is shown there. We move adoption of those recommendation 26.
Our time is growing rapidly, brethren. Can we come to bring this to a vote as soon as possible? Number 26 is before you. In a second. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those against, same sign. It is passed. 26 is passed.
27. This is simply to correct some misprints. Move the adoption of recommendation 27.
Number 27, any objection or question? If not, it is approved.
And number 28 is too late, although that is the sense that all the district commissions have reported. But we move adoption of 28 if that's appropriate.
Number 28 is easier, I suppose, to adopt it than otherwise. Question how carefully, but we have tried. Those in favor of adopting number 28, please raise your hand. Thank you. Opposed, same sign. It's done.
Number 30, we move its adoption.
Number 30, shall we vote on this? Number 30, those in favor, please raise your hand. Thank you. Same sign. It is carried.
We move adoption of 31. And what this amounts to is that the two committees are now charged with responsibility. Two committees are dealing with this, so we are recommending that this be referred to just a single committee.
You understand number 31? Ready to vote? Those in favor, raise your right hand. Those opposed, same sign. Adopted.
Now, if you'll turn to page 609, of your handbook and look at recommendation 7 of the permanent committee. 609, recommendation 7. This has to do with a call from a church. Excuse me, find a place here.
This is number 32, right?
Being a call to a minister, and we're simply adopting or recommending adoption rather of the recommendation to committee that if the call does come, it should come from a church, presbytery, or the General Assembly itself. If the call comes from any other source, that the presbytery should take some kind of official recognition that it does consider the work to be a valid Christian ministry. We're not telling the presbytery what to recognize. We want the presbytery to make that assessment when we adopt.
Move number 32. You see it? Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Contrary? So ordered.
33 and 34 were previously acted on under that grouping that we adopted earlier. So we move to recommendation 35. We move its adoption. It's self-explanatory.
Number 35 is before you. Those in favor, please raise your right hand.
Mr. Moderator,
yes.
Do I understand that this then will put this into the Committee on Administration to review and control presbyteries? That's what you're saying, is that right?
Yes, sir. It's for them to study the problem of how best to carry out the Assembly's work of review and control.
Mr. Moderator, that's perfectly satisfactory. I thought he was actually assigning it to Committee on Administration, but the study of it is certainly, yes.
Thank you. Let's take that vote again. Those in favor of 35, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Opposed, same sign. It is carried.
36, 37, and 38 have already been acted upon. And 39 on page 685 have also been acted upon. I move the adoption of the report as a whole.
It has been moved that the report as a whole be adopted. Number 6. Mike 6.
Mr. Moderator, this is Teaching Elder E.C. Cooley from the Presbytery located in the Pittsburgh geographical area. Now, that's a third identity.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to present a motion. If we get a second to it, I'll speak to it briefly, and then we can adopt it by common consent. I move that the General Assembly declare that congregations received into the PCA this year through the reception of the RPCES be given until December 31st, 1983 to make adjustments needed, if any, in their local church structures as they relate to trustees.
You heard the motion? You seconded? Discussion?
Mr. Moderator, a very carefully worded overture was sent to this assembly in an effort to reach out to our RP brethren, many of whom have come to us with a different structure in their local church and a different use of the office of trustee. It was the will of this assembly that we not adopt the amendments to the Book of Church Order, the very wisely worded amendments to the Book of Church Order, which were you get silly this time of day, which were included in that overture. I do not know whether any of the churches were counting on that. The RP brethren were aware, at least some of them, that this overture was being presented and the matter would be considered. We have acted upon that, and that's the will of the court. This is an expression, an opportunity to say to those brothers, we want to give you a little bit of time to bring your local structure in line with the standards of our Book of Church Order. Technically, we do not have to do this. It is simply a matter of giving them a little more time. I hope we vote for this great motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. I cannot speak for the committee. I speak for myself as a chairman, and I have no objection to that. It is a great motion.
Thank you, sir. Number 10. Mike, 10.
Mr. Moderator, Mike, the teaching elder, Louisiana Presbytery, I'd like to move that we amend that with these words, and that the clerk inform former RPCES churches of that fact by letter as soon as possible.
There's an amendment. Seconded? Seconded. Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. I have blinders. For your information, it might be of interest. The typical RP system is to have the session be the trustee. We have a grandfather clause, and because of that, a number of our larger churches have the session and deacons together to be the board of trustees. Others who've come in through various ways have other arrangements, so there's considerable variety, but this is the situation. And thank you very much for this. And number 9 to discuss. Number 9.
Mr. Moderator, I have a child's interest. Secretary, because there's a sentence, teaching elder. I have a question about this motion. The clerk, is it the clerk of the General Assembly, or should it be the clerk of the Presbytery? Churches are under the Presbytery, they're not under the General Assembly directly. Is that correct?
I interpret it as the clerk of the General Assembly in the motion given. I believe Dr. Smith also did. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor of the motion, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those against? Are we ready now to move as a whole?
It has been moved.
Moved, and so now we... Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, Will Barker, teaching elder, St. Louis Presbytery. If it's in order, I'd like to move an amendment to item number 24.
Page 679.
Where it reads that the paper confessional subscription, page 610, be received as information, I'd like to insert at that point the following words.
I believe that this has been adopted. Would it call for reconsideration, or could you make an appropriate could you make an additional motion that would get to effect at the end of the report?
I see. I'm advised if I just make a separate motion.
That's right.
To the report as a whole. All right.
That's one way to skin the cat.
I would move then that we would send, along with the paper confessional subscription, references to Charles Todd, Church Polity, 1858, pages 317 to 342, and Constitutional History of the Presbyterian Church, 1839, Volume 1, pages 127 and following. That this also be commended to the Presbytery Sessions and Boards of Deacons for study.
This is along with the thing mentioned in, what, 22, you think? 24. You've heard the motion that has been seconded? Those in seconded.
May I speak to that briefly?
You may.
Mr. Moderator, I appreciate this paper very much and feel it would be a great benefit for the various bodies to study it. But I feel that where references have been made to Charles Hodge, the citations come out of Thornwell and other documents, and the full context is not often given or adequately given. And I feel that this is a respected old school theologian whose position on this matter of subscription I think has been widely followed in the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod. By making these references, we would simply add a little more context for study for the groups in our churches who will be studying this matter of subscription to the standard.
You've heard the suggestion, motion. Ready to vote? Number 11.
Moderator, George Knight, teaching elder, St. Louis. I rise to oppose this for several reasons. One, I think it's a very bad practice for this assembly to single out favored individuals or theologians to add to the study report of our commissioners or our standing committees. Secondly, I do that because often in these two documents referred to, the same that Charles Hodge has gotten has been in offering statements in which he was opposing the adopted position of the General Assembly of the Church. And thirdly, I do so just because these documents, not having been known that way, being bound and on the shelf, have come to dominate the Church more than the decisions of the Assembly. They already have enough influence, and I don't think we should single it out for a man who's writing against the Church's decision of days gone by in most of these cases, and send it down to them.
I gather that Dr. Knight is not telling us that we should warn them against these pages in Hodge and Constitutional History. Number 8, Mr. DeFlor.
Mike Craig from South Florida, and I call for the question.
Question is called for. Shall the question be put? If so, please raise your hand. Contrary, same sign. We shall put the question. Those in favor of this proposal given by Dr. Barker, please raise your right hand. Those against, raise your hand. It fails. Now, are we ready for the question as a whole? It has been moved, I believe. Dr. Johnson. Are we ready to adopt the report as a whole? That has been moved. It has been moved. Those in favor of adopting the report as a whole, please raise your hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. The report as a whole is adopted. Moderator, if I might be allowed to call attention on page 684 is a list of the commissioners who did work hard and long as a treat to work as their chairman, and especially Bob Bailey, who is no longer here, he's gone, returned. But he did an excellent job, as you see, of taking a complex business doctrine that we had and try to make some sense out of the whole thing. Thank you. Yeah.
We have very little bit yet to do. The clerk informs me that there is a letter that must be read, the communication. Shall we hear that at this time, if there's no objection?
Mr. Moderator, I received by hand a letter from the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which reads as follows to the 10th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America. Dear brethren, the 49th General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church has adopted the following resolution, quote, that this assembly expressed to the Presbyterian Church in America, which now includes the former Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, our recognition of God's will for this time in the matter of joining and receiving, and our appreciation for the fellowship that we have had with them, and also express to them our desire that our churches may continue the fellowship that we have had and be brought into a closer fellowship in the days ahead, end quote. The Assembly also determined to express to you our appreciation for the decisions to send observers to the Reformed Ecumenical Synod in 1980 and again in 1984, and inform you that it is our clear understanding that the matters in the Reformed Ecumenical Synod that have troubled the Orthodox Presbyterian Church as well as the Presbyterian Church in America will be settled at the 1984 Synod, and we shall then all be able to see more clearly the direction in which we should go. Also, we wish to inform you, and particularly the members of the 160th General Assembly of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, now constituent members of the General Assembly, of your General Assembly, that this Assembly heard and is most appreciative of their gracious letter of June 14, 1982, addressed to this Assembly. We want to lose no further time in assuring them and all of you of our sense of oneness in faith and love, and in our desire to further that oneness by the leading of God's Spirit through His Word. Yours sincerely in Christ Jesus, the 49th General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, signed John T. Galbraith, corresponding clerk.
Thank you, sir. This is to be received with...
Mr. Moderator, I think we should receive it, spread it in our minutes as a communication to this Assembly that was read and heard, and that the matters regarding the Reformed Ecumenical Synod be referred to our interchurch relations. So we've already referred to our relations to the OPC. Matters referring to the REC, RES, be referred to the interchurch relations. And yes, it's been suggested maybe we should ask our interchurch relations committee between assemblies to make any response that they would desire. Suitable response.
Could we, by consent, say receive with warm appreciation or something?
Receive with warm appreciation would be fine.
Thank you. Is this your will? Those in favor so doing, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary, so ordered.
And then, Mr. Moderator, the former chairman of the Fraternal Relations Committee of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Ecumenical Synod has asked if he may... Evangelical Synod, excuse me. you know where we are now. We're getting pretty near the end. He's asked if he may have the floor for a minute, and then we have just the Committee on Thanks and the reading of the minutes.
Dr. McNair, if there's no objection, we'll allow Dr. McNair to have this moment of testimony and thanks.
Moderator, fathers and brethren, I rise to speak to you as a minister in the Presbyterian Church of America. God's hand was good upon the debate in our former Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod's historic debate on Saturday. I believe we saw God work. The acts of reception were clearly more of God's good hand upon us. The voting into committee, the freedom of the floor experienced by former RPCES men, the gracious action to permit former RPCES churches sufficient time functionally to adjust local congregational needs, all demonstrate the good hand of God upon us.
As we close the 10th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, our first, I rise to express my personal thanks to God and to you for these rich blessings, and I believe I represent our former RPCES brethren. Revelation 4:11 expresses deeply my heart when at this point I cry out, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe I remember the meeting of the Fraternal Relations Committee of our church and with yours, the ad interim committee, which time the kind of the lightning bolt struck Mr. McNair about the possibility of just joining you people and see what has happened. The next item.
Mr. Moderator, the Committee on Saints.
We have a report from the Committee on Saints.
Dr. Stuart Patterson, who's a Presbyterian teacher at a good Baptist university in Greenville, South Carolina, Furman University.
I'm not the chairman of this committee. As you might guess, he has left. Frank Smith had to leave for a wedding. Harold Borchett and Tim Fortner were the other members of the committee. As Dr. Smith says, my name is Stuart Patterson, teaching elder, Calvary Presbytery, and he stole my punchline. I'm one of those hybrids who is a ruling elder who teaches. But don't appoint a commission to investigate. I consider that I teach at a secular institution.
Well, of course, I know I would too, but...
Just a word of introduction. We've had some long, low valleys in this assembly, at least I have, but I've had some tremendous highs, too, and I know you have. This is one of those perfunctory things that I know you just you have to endure, but I wish you would join me in not only being exhilarated at having survived this this ordeal, but relive some of those highs, and I certainly appreciate the comments Dr. McNair just made, and I hope you'll join me in remembering some of those same things. Before we begin, although this is not momentous business that we'll be transacting here, I still would like to pause for prayer. And I've asked the permission of the moderator to call on teaching elder Richard Burgett, Calvary Presbytery, to pray.
Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you at the end of a long and difficult week. And we come to bring thanks to you for the many wondrous things that you've done among us. Father, we bring thanks for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the reason that we're here and meeting in this court. Father, we thank you for the church that you've raised up. Father, for the Presbyterian Church in America. And Father, we thank you for the joining and receiving that has taken place. Father, for the brethren that have come and joined with us to advance the kingdom. Father, we would pray that you might be glorified in these last few minutes as we meet together, as we give thanks to those who have worked so diligently to make this General Assembly a success, to help this church court as we do your business. Father, we thank you for the spirit of the General Assembly, for the great work that has been done for the commission. Father, for the fellowship that we have enjoyed with one another, for the close communion and for the encouragement that we've had from your word and from one another. We pray now that Christ might be exalted even as we close, and that the kingdom would be advanced because we've been faithful here. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
And now, with the moderator's permission, I'll read the entire report, and I trust it'll be in order to move its adoption as a whole. Whereas the Presbyterian Church in America has, by the gracious providence of God, been privileged to meet in General Assembly for this, the 10th year, and whereas those assembled have been allowed the unique experience of serving as instruments with God in His sovereign will
has chosen to use in the confirmation of the joining of our previously separate denominations, the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod and the Presbyterian Church in America, and whereas we have been afforded opportunities as commissioners to serve the cause of Christ's kingdom here on earth through the work of this first assembly of the newly constituted Presbyterian Church in America, and whereas we have all been blessed by the evident presence of His Holy Spirit in our midst as we have attempted to serve Him, now therefore be it resolved that this 10th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America express gratitude to our Heavenly Father for His unmerited favor in electing us to salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the undeserved honor of having been called to do His work, for the uncounted ways He has blessed the work of the Church, and for the evident guidance of the Holy Spirit in uniting us and in maintaining our unity in the bond of peace throughout all of our deliberations. Moreover, and more particularly, be it resolved that we express thanks to Donald McNair, Paul Settle, and their respective committees whose vision of the newly unified Presbyterian Church in America would not have become reality without their own sacrificial efforts. To the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council, and whose auspices the concurrent synods and assemblies were held, thereby facilitating the orderly transition into one denomination. To the administration and staff of Calvin College for making available their outstanding facilities for our assembly, and for their exemplary hospitality to commissioners and their families. To the Great Lakes Community Church, the first PCA congregation in the state of Michigan, for their gracious welcome to commissioners and their families, and for their considerable help behind the scenes at the assembly. To the permanent committees and other agencies and their chairmen, secretaries, and staff for their efforts in carrying forward the church's programs since the 9th General Assembly and for helpful presentations on their programs to this assembly. To the members of commissions and committees of commissioners and their chairmen and secretaries whose long hours of work made the assembly's consideration of the many complex issues possible. To Dan Moore, the staff of Committee on Administration, the Committee on Local Arrangements, and the various support staff for their able handling of all physical aspects of the proceedings. To Larry Ross, whose expert work at the organ helped create an atmosphere conducive to worship, praise, and work. To Francis Schaefer for his stirring keynote address, and to all of those who addressed our commissioners in assembly or related gatherings for their sermons, exhortations, and testimonies which edified, inspired, and challenged us. To Kenneth Weisskamp, the retiring moderator, for his leadership during the past year, and for his challenging exhortation at the assembly's opening session. To Laird Harris, moderator of this assembly, who presided over the proceedings with exemplary grace and refreshing wit. To Sadie Clerk Morton Smith, associate clerk Paul Gilchrist, recording clerks Edwin Elliott Jr. and Frank Moser, parliamentarians Jack Williamson and Kenneth Weisskamp, and the pages and other assistants who made it possible for this assembly to conduct its business decently and in order. And finally, to the members of all our particular churches who contributed significantly to the success of this assembly by their prayerful support. And one parenthetical statement before I read the final paragraph. You'll see that God works in mysterious ways. 2 days ago, we wrote this report, and we didn't know that the moderator would arrange for the singing of the 133rd Psalm. I read this closing paragraph. We close, as our Reformed Presbyterian brethren have closed their synod for over 160 years with the words of Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Moderator, I move its adoption.
Did I put that?
Number six. Mr. Moderator, could I ask the chairman if mention was made of Great Lakes Presbytery, RPCES, and the Christ Church here in Grand Rapids?
Member of the Christ Church was mentioned.
Great Lakes Community Church, the first PCA congregation.
Now, that's different. Just ahead of that, I would request that you insert a statement of appreciation to the Great Lakes presbytery of the RPCES, and particularly Christ Presbyterian Church here in Grand Rapids. They've been arranging for this assembly for the last year or maybe two, and they particularly arranged for the women's activities, and I think perhaps they should be noted as well.
Thank you. The commissioner of the chair will add that.
Yeah, without unless there's an objection to that, that can be put in.
I move we be permitted to add the an acknowledgement of thanks to the great to the Christ Church, the Christ Presbyterian Church of Grand Rapids, and to the Great Lakes Presbytery.
Just
Christ Church. Thank you.
Thank you. You have heard these expressions of thanks to all and sundry, and they are intended and meant, I'm sure, and I'm sure they're also very much appreciated by myself and everybody else. The reference to your moderator's wit is half true. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. And contrary, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Chief. Now, there's one item yet before us, and that is the matter of the reading of the minutes.
Mr. Moderator, I move that the city clerk and the associated city clerk be granted the authority to correct and approve the minutes of the last sessions of the assembly.
Yes, this is number 11.
Moderator, Leland Nuckel from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I move we adjourn, please.
A motion is on the floor about the minutes. So we put that, please, if you didn't mind. I didn't hear a second. Those in favor of the motion about the minutes, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. I believe that clears the floor for a motion to adjourn. Is that not correct? I entertain your motion to adjourn. It has been moved and seconded. And the request is you put it in writing. I voted that, didn't I? Right after. We have distributed this psalm, which has been a long practice in the Reformed Presbyterian Church before it joined with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Peace has been spread around. Can we at this time sing this song, after which we shall pronounce the adjournment and with prayer and thanks and the benediction? Yes, number 7. I'm Pastor Bill Rose from Warrior Presbytery. It was mentioned that you have some releases for the newspapers, and these gentlemen may not know where they are, so that you can take this home and put it in you. Could we pause for a moment for certain announcements? If there's some special announcements, I think that would be more appropriate now than after.
Mr. Moderator, in the prayer...
In our closing prayer, if we could remember Dr. Robert G. Raper. He's hospitalized and I understand is in very much need of our prayer.
Are there announcements? Is the place where these are found understood now? Okay. Oh, they're passing out, but they are right up there. You can get them after you leave. Shall we then turn to Psalm 133, and I will ask the organ for the first verse, and then if you would like to lead us in the singing a cappella of numbers 2 and 3.